What up? Welcome back to Rethink. We are rolling out a part two from our conversation from the last one.
Right.
I don't even know if that'll be last week or this week or whatever that is.
Who knows?
Who knows anymore?
It's COVID-19. Yes, right. It all runs together.
But we were really leaning into like your headspace in the midst of walking into sabbatical anniversary, as well as like the leadership struggles and successes that you're rolling through right now.
Right.
And I think the route that I want to go after how we ended the last one was you were listening out like, here's some places where I'm in tension. Here's some places where I'm in weakness. Here's some places where I'm letting people speak into and help lead me. I think one of the hardest things in my own leadership or in a judgment speaking for everybody else is to lean into weakness, to like embrace it and then like step forward with it. I think it's really easy for me to shove my weakest parts like to the side and go, I'm just going to focus on the really good stuff that I'm strong at. And if I can do that, nobody's going to notice this over here.
Uh-huh.
So looking at like, we all have hundreds of weaknesses when it comes to our leadership or our character, whatever that is. When you're looking at the weaknesses that are showing up in your life right now, whether that's leadership wise or in your home or whatever that is, are there ways that you're looking at it of like, here's how I'm going to step into that weakness, and here's how I'm going to embrace it, and then here's what I'm going to do to move past it? So when you're looking at your weaknesses, what do you do to not run? Is I guess the simplistic question.
Yeah. So that's a great question. So I think that one of the things I've learned is to not confuse the presence of weaknesses or failures or areas that need to grow and call that bad leadership, because those wouldn't be there if you were a really good leader.
Right.
Okay. And so I think what you have to go is like, okay, I recognize that I'm not very good at that, or that scares me, or I need to get better at that, and then going fight or flight. Mm-hmm. Right. So I can either, again, push those into shadow, or I can, you know, hide those and just accentuate my positives, or I can say, okay, that's worth it. I got to lean into it. And then that's just a courageous thing to go, okay, I don't have that figured out. What would it take? Can I do it myself? Or do I need to ask somebody to speak into it?
Mm-hmm.
Get some other perspectives on it. I might be beating myself up too. I might've made a mistake. It's not a weakness. I just made a mistake.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it's like, let yourself off the mat and learn from it. Because again, when somebody points out going, I don't like the way you did that, you might still make the choice to do it the same way, but communicate it different.
Yeah, that's great.
And
do you have a recent, like, where you've had to do that?
Oh, I think every time that everything I teach in front of a live audience or to a camera.
A live camera, yeah.
Yeah, somebody's going to write me a letter having an issue or a problem with something I said. And then I look at it and go, that's not what I said. It is what they heard.
Yeah.
And then I have to look at that and go, like it or not, that's how they heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have to go back and I go, like, I got a really super harsh critical letter from this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was signed respectfully. And I'm like,
yeah.
So now you throw grenades as long as you go respectfully. Okay.
Yeah.
So I had to wade through that and go, okay, I know that wasn't my heart and that's my intention. And I have a feeling, I don't know this person, you know, mm-hmm. from a far distance, I have a feeling that much energy came up in that person. It was probably more about them, something I triggered, than actually what I said. But the reality and the truth is, would I have done it different? Would I said it different?
Yeah.
And I had to look at that and then land in one of two places. And mine is, I would still do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And understand that some people are going to take it wrong, or maybe I would have phrased it a little bit different. So that would be one example. The other thing that I've learned over the last year is, I don't think people expect me to be a perfect leader. They expect me to be an honest leader,
mm-hmm.
A transparent leader, and a leader who is, someone told me this, and it's an old saying, but it's like, not everybody needs to have a voice. Not everybody gets a vote.
Yeah.
And that's leadership, right?
Yeah.
And the vote may go different than the way he or she wanted it to go if they would have voted,
mm-hmm.
but they have to leave the room going, but I know he listened to my voice.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great meeting with a staff lady yesterday that we had to revisit something that goes all the way back to November when I had a conversation, and I realized that unintentionally I had really wounded and hurt this person because the way I'd interpreted scripture actually landed on her life.
Yep.
Okay. And when I realized how devastated she was, she'd felt like she'd been dismissed because of it. She was a woman, you know, and it's like, that's not my intention. But when I remember being crushed going, hey, that fell on your heart. I promise I will look at that. So that was in November,
yeah.
right? And so I've spent the last like 6 months trying to figure out how that was. So then when I called her in, Karen on our lead team, mm-hmm. called her in and said, hey, we want to talk about that again. First of all, she was blown away that I kept my word.
Yeah.
That I'd actually done all this. And she said, Jim, I've always trusted that whatever your position is, it's because you're trying to hold on to God's word. It wasn't about me. Mm-hmm. It was about you trying to do that. And so then as I explained, I've studied God's word further on this, and I'm going to reverse what fell on you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to reverse that and do something different in your life. And here's the thing is, and when she said this to me, it just brought back the last year. She said, it wasn't so much what you did, it's how it came about. And this is the thing that hurt me. Sabbatical, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not so much that I needed to be on sabbatical. It's the way it came about. It was so devastating and harsh. I couldn't even process it. It just landed on me.
Yeah.
The problem was not sabbatical. The problem was process. The problem with her was not the decision that was made, is that it just got dropped on her.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan Foote used to always say to me, it's not about what you say, it's about what they hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, it's not about what you do, it's about what they see. Like, you can't put out this like falsehood of like, here's how good I am, you're just going to see that. But it's like, your actions do have to back up what you're saying. And what you're saying does have to be followed up with, because like, Taylor and I can get in a fight and she's only going to hear little aspects of it. To then follow up and go, here, when I said this, here's what I actually meant, when it plays out differently, is a whole different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You said something in there though that I want to follow. So we're looking at you like, hey, we want you to be an honest leader. We want you to be a authentic, vulnerable leader.
We all want leaders like that.
Yeah, everybody does. Yeah. With that, you just said something about like, you said something in November, and then after like doing a bunch of research, doing a bunch of time spent trying to figure things out, you're actually reversing parts of what you said. There's a lot of your job, our job, people's job, where when you're in a leadership position, you can go one of two ways. You can either push your own agenda, or you can push the mission and the vision and what you've been entrusted with. Walk me through the balance, how you balance pushing your own agenda, because like, you're somebody who gets so wrapped up in like, I love this thing right now and I'm going to chase after it. You and me both do that.
I was going to say, yeah. Pot, kettle.
Yeah. That wasn't me throwing stones. I notice it because I watch you do it. But how do you balance between like, here's what I really want to do and push, and then here's where the mission and vision is, and it doesn't necessarily line up with this, so I need to set my own stuff to the side because my job as the leader is to push this. How do you balance that?
Well, I think that we, again, have a tendency to be so passionate about something that we make the mission fit that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. No, it is
a
mission.
I'm good at that. Yeah.
It should be the mission. All right. So in what I was, you want to keep with that conversation with her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So bottom line is, I had this all the time. It was like, I can't believe that you teach this. I can't believe you teach this. Listen, there's stuff in the Bible that I go, man, my life would be so much easier if Jesus hadn't said that.
Yep.
Or if that page wasn't in there, man, you know, like I've always said, if you find me the verse that allows me to marry those two people, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But until that happens, I'm not going to, not because I don't love them.
Right.
And not because I even understand everything that is behind the command that God gave me. Because it's like, I say this all the time. I am not going to sit down with Jesus in heaven one day and go, hey, Lord, so that one part you put in the Bible there, I didn't understand that. And in our culture, it didn't feel very loving. So I changed it a little bit, trying to be compassionate because I know you're a compassionate person.
Mm-hmm.
And have him look at me going, okay, Jim, so here's what you did when you did that, okay? You actually changed my word, which is based on this truth, and you actually, it was the most hateful thing you could have ever done for them on the bigger spectrum. It made them feel good in the moment, mm-hmm. warm and fuzzy and loved, and it made sense. It actually made it worse. I'm not going to have that conversation where I look at Jesus and say, in the name of love, I changed the mission.
Because I'm smarter than you.
Well, or I try to impose my...
Right.
I think because of God's character being loving and kind and accepting and stuff mm-hmm. like that, that certainly that math would translate to that.
Yep.
And it's like Jesus going, no, that love and compassion says that can't ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you understand or not, I invented it and I created it. I know how it works. And I've always said, I will preach this church down to just me and Robin before I change that. Now, the moment I study it and go, oh, now we're still on mission.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't reading it the right way. so I was unintentionally off mission.
Yep.
My mission is to study what God said, and without changing its intent or changing its application, understand how it applies in this world, whether I totally even like it or not. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the mission is always that. And so with her, and this is one of the things that she said to me was, I always knew that your biggest mission mm-hmm. was holding on to God's word. And that's why I trusted you. I didn't agree with what you said. Yeah. I just knew your heart was, you're hanging on to our number one value, which is biblical authority.
Yeah.
And my job is not to make it fit my life. My life is to come underneath of it and say, okay, I'm gonna live out. She always gave me credit for that.
That's great.
So that's a good place.
Yeah.
So there's a trust there, okay?
Yeah.
So then when I come back and go, hey, the more I studied that, and now she knows, one, I'm still going after God's word, and two, I have integrity because I'm doing what I said I was going to do. And then when I say, the more I studied it, I actually have, through a lot of prayer, because I never thought I would land here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's my own bias and my own upbringing. And I'm leaving it really vague because people are out there going, what's he talking about?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. I actually believe that we have unintentionally, probably for good reasons, but unintentionally, we've actually short-changed you. And I think that what I understand of God's word actually now opens up this door for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm opening it up.
Yep.
Not because I have the authority. I'm the lead pastor here, yep. right? But I'm under that authority of God's word. And that gives you the authority, gives me the authority to say that's okay for you.
Yeah.
So that's the mission.
Yeah. That's so great.
I have to be really, really clear that my own preferences and taste and wants and my favorite methodologies mm-hmm. don't define our mission.
Yeah. When I was an intern, I still have the note in my phone. We had a meeting with you. That was like, hey,
get your YouTube channel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was all the interns together. And the idea was like, hey, you get to like pick Jim's brain and like ask why Flatirons does the way that they do. And I still have the note in my phone of you said, we will always hold on to our, like, we will always hold on to our theology, but we will always be willing to change the methodology.
Yeah. Right.
And you can apply that outside to the real world, the outside world, outside of church world, of like, we will always hold on to this and change the way that we can get there
mm-hmm.
instead of letting go of this. So that way that methodology lines up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping that in like the vague sense, that way people outside of church world can take that application and like apply it outwards. What do you have to do like in your own mind to reset when you get so gung ho on something of like, I'm so gung ho on this, but it's distracting me from blank, when blank is the most important thing.
Yeah. I think going back and looking at, okay, what are the rocks, the big rocks? Mm-hmm. What are the hills you'll die on? And is this really one of them? Or is it just it's another thing, but it's not the only expression of that big rock.
Yep.
Don't confuse the expression of it with the big rock.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, again, I was just, doing an interview and they're asking me like, where's the church going in the future? And it's like, you know what? I look back at the book of Acts, and first of all, you don't find any multi-campus, broadcast campuses, online examples.
Yeah, the support and development model does back it up.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do is go, but what are the big rocks of what Jesus established as a church? Okay. And now without letting go of those, how do you apply that out? Okay. So family and culture and business and economy is very, very, very different than it was 2000 years ago, but there's some big rocks out there going, okay. So there's family in America may be expressed in a lot of different ways. What are the big rocks? You know, it's like, I was watching, getting ready for that whole Newlywed game, right? I was watching all these examples from like the 60s and 70s and the commercials.
Yeah, I bet they were. I love Game Show Network. Oh, the commercials. So I love that.
It's like if this housewife with pearls on, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, you want to keep your husband happy? Make sure you cook this and do this and whatever. And I'm like, you know, I could. That first of all, that would not be permitted on the air today.
No,
but you know, it's like we went. Dad goes to work, mom stays home, kids do this, and they all come home and they eat. Right? That's not reality anymore. Okay, because yeah. I know families where. Dad doesn't go to work. He works out of the basement, you know, mm-hmm. and commutes to China, every whatever that is, you know. And I know where mom's a surgeon and dad's a stay-at-home dad because that's the giftedness and stuff like that. It doesn't change the big rocks of this is a husband and this is a wife and this is the relationship, okay? there's nothing in the Bible that says he needs to make more money than her.
Right.
Right. We impose that on there,
mm-hmm.
but there are some things in there about the role of the husband, the role of the wife, right?
Right.
And the role of the kids and the role of the father and stuff like that. Those are the big rocks and we can't confuse it. So when you get into, a turf war with Taylor or something like that,
that never happens.
Is this about a methodology or is there a big rock that's actually being debated here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to kind of throw things out going, okay, this is my preference and this is my ask
mm-hmm.
and this is what I would want, but I'm certainly not going to go, it's the whole mission rest on whether you made dinner tonight or if it was my turn or if you make enough money or don't make, whatever that is. It's like, it's when we start looking at in our organization and going, that is crucial to the mission and that can't change. That's another thing that we may or may not do or want to do, but don't confuse that with being mission critical. And so I think you always have to be going through. So as we're looking at how to walk back into meeting together, mm-hmm. all right, what are the big rocks that have to be in place? And then what are the stuff going, hey, I'd like to do that, but it's not realistic right now.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is, does that methodology get the big rocks into the lives of as many people as possible through the old ways?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this an opportunity to go, hey, let's do marriage different. Let's do family different. Still hanging on to the most important things that God said have to be in place, but we could express it different. Like the young man that I just, all right, he and his wife and two kids, they decided to sell their house 8 months ago, buy an RV, and they've been traveling around. All right, it's non-traditional.
Yep.
Okay, they have the margin of life to do that right now, but don't say it's right or wrong. It's right. Like, hey, this is what we're going to do for a season of our life. But the big rocks of I'm the husband, you're the wife, we're married. This is what marriage looks like. These are our children. These are our roles in our daughter's lives. This is our role of our daughter's lives in our lives. Those are all in place biblically, and the rest of it is just blow it out, whatever mm-hmm. you want to do. Because they haven't let go of the big rocks, right? And so I think in leadership, you're always going, is this mission critical or is this a mission killer and a diversion? And if it is, that can come and go.
Yeah.
And that's what I have to keep on going through. What's the most important thing we're doing? All right?
And hammer it home.
And then is this the best way to do it for now? Because it might be a better way to do it different as the world changes, but that mission critical stuff.
Yeah, and making those rocks simple. Like, it's not this complex. Here's how you understand from top to bottom how this one rock works. Like, no, biblical authority will always be the biggest rock. Everything else falls underneath it here, right?
And I don't think you need to have a lot of big rocks.
No.
It's like there's 47 things you have to remember. Really, there's just like two or three.
Yep.
And going, okay, now after that, it's all methodology and it'll always flex.
Hmm.
Right?
That's great.
Good.
Cool.
Part two.
Part two.
All right. This may be a part three. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
All right. Thanks. See you later.